Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity, for the freedom that we have to come and to worship you this morning. We thank you for this place of worship. There are people meeting all across this county and country and world worshiping you this morning. We're just a small part of that, but I thank you for this body of believers and how we can come together, encourage each other, do life with each other, and learn together. So Lord God, I pray that this morning as we open up your holy word, that we would feel the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak into each one of our lives what it is that you desire for us to hear. Challenge us, Lord God, through your word this morning. Challenge us to be different people as a result of following your word and your example. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So those of you that know me, you know that I have about this much creativity. Not a real creative person. So my titles for my messages often are either non-existent or not very creative titles, right? So for example, this morning I have written on here, God in the Workplace, which lines up exactly what Randy was talking about this morning. However, we're changing that because Randy had this great quote at the very end of the welcome announcements. And together, so this morning what we're talking about is how are people going to see Jesus through me today? That's a great question. It's a great question for all of us to have to process and think about. So if you're writing down titles, if you're taking notes, that's what it is. How are people going to see Jesus through me today? Randy was talking about teachers, students, going back to work, and the rest of us that work. And that's exactly where I was going. It's kind of funny how God does that sometimes, right? As I'm talking today and I'm talking about work, I'm not just simply talking about our teachers and school staff and students and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about people that are in the roles of parenting or grandparenting or whatever occupation it might be that you're serving in. People that are volunteering, people that are caring for others, caring for the elderly, meeting the needs of others. That is all work. Work is defined as actively involving mental or physical effort that is done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. That's work. So it's not just punching in the clock tomorrow. You don't get an exception to just tune out today because you're not punching in the clock tomorrow. You do work. It's that simple. If we breathe, we do work. So this morning, we're going to be looking at this reality of working and what it means to work for God. Work in the sense of where you go and you clock in and you get a paycheck, that's a necessity for survival for us. And for some people, that becomes their life, and sometimes it's unhealthy in how it becomes their life because they become workaholics in those situations. Some people dread going to those kind of jobs, but they do it because they need a paycheck. They hate what they do, but there's no way out of what they do, at least not that they can see. And then for other people, that kind of work is like, that's their happy spot. They actually enjoy their work. They go to work. They like doing it. They get satisfaction from it, all that kind of stuff. That's all good. But this morning, I want us to look at God's word and what it says about work beyond just those kind of opportunities. But what it is that we do with our time and our efforts, and how he expects us to act when we are working. There are many scriptures throughout passages that talk about work and how we are to approach work and how God would expect us to work as believers. And one of those is Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it simply says this: whatever you do, so if you're doing something, and we're going to say if you're working, right? If you're grandparenting, if you're parenting, if you're whatever, clocking into a clock, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord that you are serving. What a perspective for us to have as we leave today and do whatever work looks like for you this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, or throughout the week. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. And do it as if you're serving the Lord. Look at the work in front of you today. I don't know what it is. Doing a report, sitting in a meeting, cooking a meal, cleaning, teaching. Maybe you're going and learning something in school tomorrow. That's work. Maybe you're serving or you're entering data into a computer. Whatever you do, our passage says, do it all as if you're doing it for the Lord himself. I believe that I have probably one of what I would consider to be the best jobs in the world as a pastor. I believe that I have one of the hardest jobs in the world at times. I believe that I have one of the most fulfilling jobs in the world at times. I believe that I have one of the most stressful jobs in the world at times. You see, it changes every day by what I'm doing, and the same is true of you and your jobs. If you like your job, I'm going to guess that there are days where you believe you have the best job in the world. And then the next day you go in and you discover that all you're doing is reports, and all of a sudden it's the worst job in the world for a few hours. Right? It changes by what we're doing and by what the day holds. I don't believe that anybody loves their job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you do, and I am wrong on that in your situation, hold on to that job like you've never held on to anything before. Because you are blessed. I love to, as a pastor, I love to have opportunity to lead, to take on projects, to help meet needs, to care for people. I love doing baby dedications. You've heard me say so many times, one of my favorite Sundays is when we open up the baptistry. We're doing that in a couple weeks from now. I'm doing baptisms. I love teaching. I enjoy doing funerals for believers, because it's an incredible time of celebration of somebody's life and how they've lived it. I love watching people grow in their relationship with Christ. I love seeing life change take place in somebody's life because God is at work in their lives. I love the people of God and the people that God has created and allowed me to work with for the most part, most days, right? But I don't love sickness and hospital visits. I don't love death and funerals of the unsaved. Those are some of the hardest funerals to ever do. I don't love month-end paperwork or year-end reports to the denomination. I don't really like reading. I've told you this many times. I do it out of discipline. I don't get pleasure out of preaching on kind of tough issues or controversial issues that divide us or kind of separate us from the world, creates tension. I love people, but I don't love it when people don't love each other. And I have to help facilitate that sometimes. I believe that this is what God has called me to do. And I don't see myself doing anything else because he's called me and has enabled me to do this particular job. And I think I've learned to, over the years, mix the good and the bad together and make the best of it, or at least try to do that, right? To remember that when we're having those really good days, to enjoy those and just soak it up, because the next day might not be nearly as fun. You just don't know. So what about you this morning? Spend just a few minutes talking about the opportunity that God gives you on a regular basis as a result of the work, whether you're being a caregiver, a student in school, a teacher or staff in school, whether you're parenting, grandparenting, working in the work world, whether you're using the trades that God has given you, whatever it is for you. You need to know that your work matters because you matter. When you understand that, that you matter to God, God will be able to use you right where he has you for as long as he has you there. People have this preconceived idea of good jobs and jobs that are kind of the least, right? And we all probably do this to some degree. We categorize jobs. But when you ask somebody what they do and they begin it with a sentence that says something like, I am only a, that's really hard to hear, right? Or when you begin your answer to that question with a statement like, you are only a, you're putting yourself down and you're elevating somebody else at your expense. You're not only a anything. If you're doing what God has for you, and you're doing it to the best of your ability, you are doing what God has called you to do for as long as he has called you to do it. And we should be proud of those positions that God puts us in. Remember what they said about Jesus and his disciples? They're only a carpenter and fisherman, right? But look at the church universal. How is the church universal growing? How is it what it is today? It was grown by farmers and carpenters and fishermen and janitors. It was grown by tax collectors and teachers, which the Bible doesn't say a whole lot of nice stuff about sometimes. It was grown by intelligent leaders with education and by men and women who work with their hands. It was grown by this mass diverse workforce. It was grown by mothers who tenderly cared for their children and invested in their spiritual lives, and fathers that prayed for those kids and did the same as the mothers. It takes all kinds of people to spread the gospel of Christ. It takes people from all walks of life to be where God has them placed, because not everybody's meant to be pastor, a teacher, a business person, a tradesperson. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said to his disciples, and many of you know these words, it's from the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Long-time Christians, those of us that maybe have grown up in the church and it's been a part of who we are from little on up, or people that maybe for the last 5-10 years have been a part of the church, long-time Christians, I think sometimes we forget about the fact that those that we work with and have contact with are actually people that God would expect us to share our faith with. Because we become comfortable, in a sense, separating out our work reality, our social reality, and we separate that out from our church reality. And we can't do that. That's not what God wants. God wants it all to be mixed and meshed together. I had the opportunity earlier on in ministry when I was back in Ohio to work bivocationally. So I worked part-time at the church and then full-time elsewhere. And I did this so that I could do church ministry and still pay bills for our house. So a pastor of a bivocational church, it's kind of a hard balancing act when you're doing that. Because you're trying to balance out, okay, I gotta give time to this job that I'm going to, because that's what's paying my bills at the end of the day. But my passion is to give my time to this ministry, because that's what's really actually important in life. But then I also need to give time to my family and my personal life, because that matters to myself and to God as well, right? So it's trying to figure out that balance. And let me tell you, it gave great opportunity to be in that kind of a role of bivocational, to connect with non-believers on a regular basis, because I was reporting to work for 40 or 50 hours a week somewhere, right? So it gives that kind of opportunity. That's the advantage to it. As a full-time pastor, I have to be a whole lot more intentional to be around people that don't know Christ. That's why I have always tried to figure out ways to be involved in my community in some way, shape, or form, whether it be through the fire department or serving on a board in Anvil, or just going to the Anvil-Cleona school district board meetings and getting to know some of the players, some of the people that are a part of our school district, going to just functions in our community. All that is intentional, because I know that it would be very easy just to stay in the four walls of my office. But that doesn't help advance the kingdom of God. That doesn't help build relationship. So I find other avenues of work. In these situations, they're volunteer ones, right? Of volunteer fire department or a board in Anvil, or just being a part of community through the school district. So I find those opportunities of work so that I can build relationship with people. It's not because I love to fill my calendar and my time with just stuff with other people. As you all know, I've never been shy to say I am an introvert at heart. So a quiet evening at home versus a busy evening at a community function, one looks more attractive initially to me. But I need to be intentional about that. It's important that I'm focusing some efforts on work that allows me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if at all possible, I would say to you this morning that unless you sense God calling you into like a formal role of ministry, in which case, be obedient. There's no greater thing to do. Don't separate your workplace, whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're going to do when you leave here today or tomorrow. Don't separate your workplace and the ministry that God has for you, because they should be one of the same. As you parent and do that work, that hard, sometimes really stressful work of parenting, don't separate that from your ministry work. As you clock into your office, don't separate that from your ministry work. As you take care of your grandkids, don't separate that from your ministry work. Whatever it is. As you go to school tomorrow, don't separate that from your ministry work. We will be a better church, and I'm not talking about Fairland, I'm talking about Church Universal, right? We will be a better church and a better world when we see believers, us, at work, treating the workplace as an opportunity to do what God has called us to do. And I fully get, and especially as the years go on, I think the sometimes the restrictions grow a little bit more, right? And you'll agree with me on this probably. But I fully get that some situations, some work situations, especially ones that you clock in and clock out of, that they have guidelines in place that may not allow you to, as you would like to, do ministry at work. And here's my suggestion. You should give 100% to your employer, and you should listen to what they request in regards to that. But there's unique ways of still doing ministry at work without standing up and preaching the gospel or being or going against what they're asking you to do. Sometimes it's as simple as just sitting down and having lunch with somebody and listening to them. Sometimes it's just caring when somebody's having a rough day and nobody else really will take the time to listen to them, to comfort them. Sometimes it's in general conversation, just open up how God has done something in your life. There's always going to be opportunities to listen to people about the pain and the hardships that they're facing. And maybe, depending on the workplace, you might have the opportunity to pray with that person quietly in an office or something. But if not, you can certainly ask that person if it's okay that you pray for them and add them to your prayer list and then actually do it. You might have opportunity at your workplace because you know your coworkers well enough. When somebody's going through something hard, you might have the opportunity to be able to offer that radical love to somebody and help meet a need of somebody. And when they inquire as to why you do that or did that, you share with them because that's what my God tells me to do. Sometimes it's that simple. We had that opportunity, and I wanted to let you guys know this. We had that opportunity several weeks ago with Max, and I'm not going to go through the whole story again, but you guys as a church, you sent Max, like, I think we did $5,500, almost $5,500 that went to LVC to help him with his tuition. He's a young man from Ukraine. And here's just a quick update on that. He has all 4 years paid for, so praise the Lord on that. And they're actually working with a second Ukrainian student and working at, yeah, amen. So you guys gave a check, a huge check towards that, and then you also sent a basket, and I think there's a picture that, so there's Max and the basket that you guys put together. Cindy, I think, put that together on behalf of all of us, and so many of you guys donated stuff in there, and that was actually on his birthday. So Monday was Max's birthday, so they said, is it okay if we use that for a birthday gift for Max? Like, yeah, use it however you want, doesn't matter to us. So then I got, yesterday in the mail, I got this card from Max. And it says, dear congregation, I don't know which words I can use to thank you enough for all the help you made for me. I am very grateful for the card that everybody signed, the basket with everything, and that word is underlined, and it had everything in it. You guys did awesome. For the basket with everything I need for college, and the check that you sent that made it possible for me to go to college. See, we have these opportunities in our workplaces, not just in our community. This is one in the community. But we have these opportunities in our workplaces to meet somebody's need in radical ways. And we can do that. When we do that, we are being God. We are doing ministry in our workplaces. And sometimes it's as simple as sharing some encouraging words with somebody that's feeling down. There's so many ways. These are just a few. This might be the most important sentence I say the whole day. So if you haven't been listening yet, listen just for like 20 seconds. And then you go back to bed. God reaches all walks of life with the gospel message. And God uses all walks of life to spread the gospel message. You get that? God reaches all walks of life with the gospel message. It's his job to do that. We are the conduit that does that. But God reaches all walks of life with the gospel message. God uses all walks of life. That's us. To spread the gospel message. And so often it can be accomplished through our work situations, as we're talking about today. Work that provides an income has got to be seen as a gift from God. But all work, the volunteer stuff, the parenting stuff, the grandparenting stuff, the being a student, all that stuff, you name it, should be seen as a place to minister to people with the message of Christ. There are certainly times where we see our work as a burden, but it is still a necessity of life, And it is still an incredible opportunity to show Jesus. Sometimes, if you're like me, you may find yourself seeing work as a chore at times. That you just don't want to do it today. But when you look at work as an opportunity for God to change somebody's life through you, I think that that has incredible power to change our view of our work. When you understand work is as a commitment to accomplish something, and that while we're working, that God takes those efforts that we have, blesses those efforts, and uses them to impact and change somebody else's life, that should change the way we think about our work and how we do our work. It should make it a whole lot easier for us to do as Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 say, right? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, because what you're doing might actually change somebody else's life if you're working at it with all your heart. Here's just a couple final takeaways for us today. The first one is just simply this. God expects us to have good work ethics, to give it our all. And that's just seen in whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So whatever you're doing, whether it's on the clock or off the clock, doesn't matter. Work at it with all of your heart. And then I think if we're talking about work that you clock in and out of and it pays bills, I think God expects us to work to live, not to live to work. Like, we need to set boundaries in our lives. And sometimes, especially in our culture, we get that messed up. And we get so hung up on climbing that ladder, that corporate ladder, that we just invest in our time at the harm of other important things in our lives. Work to live, not live to work. Figure that balance out. And then thirdly, and most importantly, we must focus on kingdom work with whatever we're doing, because it will make a difference, number one, in your attitude as you go to work, but it'll also make a difference in the lives of other people. And I want to end our time together by sharing a story that I read, and this just shows the importance of us sharing our faith, of us doing exactly what that verse says, right? To whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. With all your heart. So just listen to this story. It's a little bit more of a lengthy story than I would normally share, but you'll see why I think it's important to share. Edward Kimball. I'm going to guess you've never heard of him. Most people haven't, so you're not alone. Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who not only prayed for the hyper boys in his class, but also sought to win each one of them to the Lord personally. He decided he would be intentional with every single last one of those boys. Surely he thought about throwing in the towel at times. If you've ever taught the Bible to young boys, you know that experience and why he would think it is more like herding cats than teaching the Bible. One man in particular, one young man, one boy in his class in particular, didn't seem to understand what the gospel was about. So Kimball went to the shoe store where this young man was stocking shelves and had a conversation with him about the importance of Jesus and a personal relationship with Jesus. The young man was Dwight L. Moody. In the stockroom on that Saturday, he believed the gospel and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. In his lifetime, Moody touched two continents for God, with thousands professing Christ through his ministry. But the story doesn't end there. Actually, that's just where the story begins. Under Moody, another man's heart was touched for God, Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became the evangelist who preached to thousands. One day, a professional ball player had a day off and attended one of Chapman's meetings, and thus Billy Sunday was converted. Sunday quit baseball and became part of Chapman's team. Then Chapman accepted the pastorate of a large church, and Billy Sunday began his own evangelical crusades. Another young man was converted, whose name was Mordecai Ham. He was a scholarly and dignified gentleman. When Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina, a sandy-haired, lanky young man, then in high school, vowed that he would not go to hear him preach. But Billy Frank, as he was called by his family, did eventually go and listen. Ham announced that he knew for a fact that a house of ill reputation was located across the street from the local high school, and that male students were skipping lunch to visit the house across the street. When students decided to go to interrupt the meetings of Mordecai Ham, Billy Frank decided to go to see what was going to happen. That night, Billy Frank went and was intrigued by what he heard. Returning the next night, he responded to the invitation and was converted. Billy Frank eventually became known to many as Billy Graham, the evangelist who preached to more people than any other person who has probably lived, including the Apostle Paul. Kind of a fascinating chain of events when you think of that, and it goes back to one Sunday school teacher that was working, that was giving their time to invest in the life of somebody else. And through that, that young man gave his life to Christ, and the story just blew up from there. So why is it important? Why is it important how we spend our time at work? We spend probably the most hours of our week doing something that's work-related, volunteer work or paycheck work. And if we don't incorporate these things, these two things together, we miss out on the greatest opportunity to share God's faith. So the question that we opened with is the question that we end with. How are people going to see Jesus through me today? It's the question that we need to ask when we leave here and go into whatever it is we're doing this afternoon, tomorrow. Whatever work it is that's on your plate. How are people going to see Jesus through you as you do it? It's a question we should all struggle with, because the implications are huge. When we're obedient, God can take something so small and just do incredible things with it. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing that you give us of being able to do all kinds of different work in our lives. And I know in this room, in this auditorium, that there are people that when I say the word work, it looks very different for each one of us. So Lord God, whatever that looks like for each individual sitting in that room, in this room, I would pray, Lord God, that you would help us each understand how it is that we can be very intentional about meshing our faith with our work. That we can be very intentional in being able to answer that question of how are people going to see Jesus through me today at work. And that we can come up with ideas as to how we can do that, so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be through our actions or through our words, or through both at times. And that we can be used by you for your kingdom's sake. Help us to be creative in doing that, Lord God, because we do know that there are places that don't allow us to just freely open up the gospel and do it as maybe we're used to or we're comfortable doing it. So give us creativity as to how we can do that. And then, Lord God, I would pray that you would bless the efforts of everybody in here. I know the hearts of so many of these people, Lord God, and I know their heart for you and their desire for others to know you and commune with you. So I pray that you would take their efforts and that you would make them fruitful, that they could see evidence of it actually making a difference in other people's lives. But when we don't see that evidence, Lord God, I would pray that you would give us absolute faith that you are still doing something. And it might be years, it might be decades until we see the fruits of it. Or it might be an eternity that we see those fruits. But let us trust that you are faithful. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.